Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
We'll get into a Cowboys conversation here in just a minute. Before we do, though, what's the most important thing in order to get into the conference championship game? What do you think it is?
Winning the divisional round.
It's a pretty good one right there, Mike. I like that. Your approach, Kevin?
Yes, beat that.
Having an excellent quarterback.
Okay, that is good. Jaden Daniels?
Yeah.
Excellent at the moment.
Top 10 defense, all right?
Jalen Hurts, very important to his team. Patrick Mahomes, have you heard of him?
He's the best.
Josh Allen, perpetual loser to Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow?
Yes. Might be the second best.
Might be the second best one out there. Those things are all good ideas. But the thing that every single one of these teams has in common, the four teams that are in, they have zero turnovers in the playoffs.
Ooh.
Zero turnovers.
Really?
The first conference championship weekend ever featuring teams with zero turnovers in the postseason. So it'll be 21 days since the Commanders turned the football over. 21 days, 35 days for the Eagles and Bills, and 70 days for the Chiefs. So week 11 was the last time the Chiefs turned the ball over.
And I have seen a stat about that that's incredible. For the Eagles specifically, though, I think that's made the biggest difference. Like, it makes a difference for every football team. But one of the things that always haunted Jalen Hurts is like, yeah, he shows flashes of being really good, but he always turns the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
When he doesn't turn the ball over, you're like, hey, this is a quality player. Even if his passing stats are low, this is a quality player.
These four quarterbacks, zero turnovers, 15 takeaways for their team. So that's a plus 15 for those teams, right? Like, if you're doing that way. And how often do we say that winning the turnover battle is that important?
Yeah.
Whenever I heard Troy Aikman say it the other day, it's like really stuck with me. He was like, in these big games, it's not who has the most, that Jimmy Johnson used to always tell us, not who has the most big plays, but who has the least bad plays.
And step right on up, Mr. Mahomes.
And Mahomes, yeah, he can cruise as long as he's not turning the ball over, and the opponent's going to work themselves into a bad play at some point. Because they think they can't get over the top. They can't beat Patrick Mahomes in that group. So we got to do something weird. We got to go ahead and run this reverse with Jameson Williams throwing downfield to get it. Even though Ben Johnson had run a lot of trick plays all season long, it felt like you were kind of panicking in that moment. And so that's going to be it. If the other team isn't giving you that chance, they're playing checkers and they got all their guys in the back row. And you're like, how am I ever going to get defeat this if you never move your guys from that back row? And they're like, tough. Deal with it. We're never going to do it anyway, and you're going to be screwed.
Were you that player?
When it was time to move them from the back row, I did.
Okay.
When it was time, but I wasn't going to give you a free opportunity to get there. Like, that'd just be stupid strategy.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert had more interceptions in his playoff loss than the regular season.
Yes.
That
even if one of them wasn't his fault, then that still would put him at the same as a regular season. That's never going to work.
Jared Goff had four turnovers. Jordan Love became the first quarterback in Packers playoff history with no touchdown passes, three interceptions in a game. And Lamar Jackson had two first half turnovers Sunday night. And that was the biggest factor in that game, right? Like, those two in the first half.
For like the first time in years.
And they were chasing. From there on, they were chasing. This was the second time in the divisional round that teams were 0-4. Went out gaining their opponents in yards, but they couldn't do it because the turnovers. That's the biggest factor. So managing this game's this is the biggest. Managing the game is important. And if you practice that throughout a season, we can manage this game. We can overcome this. We don't have to do things that are just out there and super magical in order to get points on the board. You probably have a better opportunity. We kept track of the rushing numbers all season long. The best rushing teams had a better record at the end of the year. Three of the four lowest interception rates in playoff history with at least 200 attempts. Josh Allen at 0.9%. Jalen Hurts, 1%. And Mahomes, 1.1%. Only Alex Smith, the game manager creator, like he's the king of game managers, had a lower one at 0.8%. Jalen Daniels rounds out the quarterbacks. Been like perfect pretty much throughout the postseason. So the key here is keep an eye out. The team that turns the ball over is likely with the way that these quarterbacks play and the way that they understand the game, that's going to be the likely loser on that. So go find which team's likely to put the ball on the ground. Which one's more likely to throw an interception?
I still think the possibility for Philadelphia is there.
And if you're one of those teams too that like your opponent believes, hey man, some point, that Romo experience, at some point, this guy is going to put the ball up and we're going to get a chance. I don't believe that with Jaden Daniels. I just don't think that he's going to put the ball at risk. All season long, he didn't put the ball at risk. Why do I think he's going to do it now when he's not done it at all in the playoffs? Mahomes, brilliant at that. Josh Allen, it seems like Joe Brady took that away from him. He said, we're just going to run the ball a lot more, and they did. This year, their running numbers were up. His passing touchdown numbers didn't look the same. His interception numbers didn't look the same because they said, what's been a big factor in us losing these big games, Josh? It's been that you turned the ball over. We're going to take that out of your hands altogether. So those four teams, that's the key right there. When you hear coaches say winning the turnover battle is important, that's where it stands. Now, Kevin, you're a big C-SPAN watcher, right?
No.
You're not?
No.
Okay. Whenever you wanted to be in the White House, though, you were like, I'm going to have to watch a lot of C-SPAN.
And they've really expanded their operation.
Have they really?
Used to have that one channel, and now they're like, we got lots of options.
So I never understood. C-SPAN back whenever I was a kid, it felt like you were just turning on and you're watching people in the government yell at each other. One was sitting up high.
Sure.
The other one was sitting low, but they were both on microphones, and it was very boring because they had ties on. If you're wearing a tie, a kid thinks
that automatically
boring.
Makes it boring.
Yeah, you're stuffy and boring.
John Oliver would frequently
been wearing ties all this time on the TV.
John Oliver does a great bit where he talks about the hero of C-SPAN who takes all these ridiculous phone calls, and frequently they will. I hope whatever clip this is might need to be censored because a lot of times people call in and say inappropriate stuff.
So somebody did interrupt the presidential inauguration. With a phone call as they were disgusted about the trajectory of America.
Hoping to become the next director of national intelligence. Graham in Jersey City, New Jersey, Democrats line.
Hi, I want to wish everyone a happy MLK Day. I hope everyone's staying warm. A bit disappointed how the election turned out. I think it would have been great to see a female president inaugurated today. While I'm disappointed in the American people and their desire to see another 4 years of Trump, I'm a bit more disappointed in the selection committee for not picking Alabama for the college football playoff finals, and instead picking inferior teams like SMU and Indiana. Truly dark times in America.
Okay.
Why did they? Listen, man.
They didn't cut him off. He kept going.
They cut him off. Okay. All right. That's enough right there. Like that was entertaining. Let it keep rolling. He didn't throw anything out there that was a cuss word or anything like that. I love those kinds of bits. Man.
So that happens a lot. I don't know if this is the same guy. Surely the C-SPAN has more than one person who takes phone calls. That poor guy would have gone insane by now. But like, because he makes a great point, but you got to cut that off because that's not what your audience is looking for, right?
I don't know. I have no clue what the C-SPAN audience is, honestly.
That's like, a good, probably it, really old people.
Is it just people in the White House just watching to keep tabs on what's going on at the Capitol? They're just trying to see what's going on around there.
Or like you could watch the votes on there sometimes too.
Oh yeah. So if it's up for red or down for blue and then green. Yeah. So you're trying to figure out what those votes are at all times. The I kind of desire for more of our Tolos to make these kinds of calls to C-SPAN. Get in on C-SPAN. Tell us that you got in. You know, text us. Let us know. Hey, I got on C-SPAN. Here's my hot take. And it's some Cowboys rant, and they don't even realize it's going on. I love this idea.
I can't tell you the last time I watched C-SPAN.
I would love to know the last time it was, so I get more information for you about why.
I honestly don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, why would I have watched that?
And what's the phone number for C-SPAN? How do you find that phone number?
I feel like usually they have it up on the screen a lot of times during C-SPAN.
Oh, yeah, it's super easy. It's right there. All right. You just call on in. It's a lot of numbers, though. I feel like that's too many numbers. I did recently see on the back of a bag of Fritos that they have a hotline. If your bag of Fritos is stale, you can call it and they'll give you a new one.
Okay. Let's just talk about
like 50 cents.
Yeah, your cost time benefit analysis.
Or $4 for the regular bag.
This is them giving you a guarantee. You'll always have a guaranteed fresh bag of chips.
I get the principle of it.
Your phone's right there, dude.
But is that worth your time to get your free bag of Fritos? What are they going to do, mail it to you?
Those chips so bad.
But you want them right now. They don't just appear.
I need that salty crunchiness.
Okay, look. All right, I could call and it just popped up in my house, I get it. They're going to mail it to you.
I'm going
to
call out Oreos here. I know you don't like Oreos.
Not a fan.
I got the thin Oreos recently from the grocery store. The, I don't know if they call them blonde or, I don't know, white.
Vanilla? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I just pass them.
I ate some last night during my football and Raw watching. Mm-hmm. And they weren't they weren't stale, but they definitely didn't taste super fresh.
So they were on their way to chewy.
A little.
Yeah.
But all right, it happens. Like I paid $4 for the thing Oreos and they weren't maybe the crispiest, crunchiest Oreo that I've had. And
it's a hard earned $4 though.
It is. But if on the back it says, hey, call up Oreo and get a new box of Oreos. I don't even know if they're a box. You just take off the
a sleeve.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Nabisco.
I lost $4. Guess what? Unfortunately, we throw away way too much food at our house.
From the 469, where does Mike buy a bag of chips for 50 cents? The little bag's like 3-something at 7-Eleven.
See, but I feel like they have those bags at Walmart.
Yeah, you get like a box
of
24, though, and it's not just Fritos, but like the kid size bags.
And you can buy those as a pack, or you can get them on the impulse rack where it's like, hey, it's 50 cents. There's probably 6 chips in there, mm-hmm. but you should go for it.
It is that impulse buy to get you at the last second. They're always trying to get you. And then the 5 strategies the next coach of the Cowboys needs to implement in Dallas, Kevin.
Are any of these answers about Oreos?
I didn't see Oreos on here. Okay. Number one, this might actually be a longer discussion because number one is preserving Dak Prescott. That's going to be a problem considering he's already needs to be preserved. And you're going to already kind of have to walk around with bowling bumpers on him.
Well, when he goes fishing, he helps himself out. He puts on boots.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That's what we heard.
Man, that's twice now where we've been told it's much ado about nothing. And you're like, oh, wait.
But it actually was a problem. They're like, improving the run game, which, I mean, what is it at this point? We have no clue. It's an offensive
line. You don't have a running back.
No, I guess you have
Deuce Vaughn.
You have a bunch of names, but you don't know who the coach is going to be at this point. There's a lot going on.
His name's Deuce because he's 5'2"?
I don't know that to be the case.
But you might be right.
Wow. He grows, we'll have to call him Trace.
That is the C block, Kevin. Deuce.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
Truce.
Right here.
All our running backs by the inches they wore off their feet.
On 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what are reasonable expectations for DeGrom in 2025? Your new favorite Rangers player and one of the greatest baseball cards of all time has been pulled by a kid.
I got it!
Not you. Next on The Fan.
And it's 2-2. DeGrom pushes off and comes home again. And he struck him out swinging. Got him on a high fastball at 98.
Can't see Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Hoping all the Annies out there and everybody is doing okay on this Tuesday. So we've got a lot of baseball to dive into here. DeGrom, obviously, want to talk some more. We didn't get to this yesterday about Jake Berger and the most awesome baseball card that got pulled apparently today, maybe yesterday. It just went up on the Topps account.
Right.
Where do you guys want to start?
Let's go with baseball card. That's fun.
Yeah, okay. Start with that.
Baseball card. We've been talking about the MLB debut one of one autograph patches out of the Topps Chrome update forever. And the big one that had kind of a bounty on it was Paul Skenes with the Pittsburgh Pirates saying they'll give 30 years of season tickets right behind home plate. Libby Dunn said you could sit in her suite with her. Corrected my language that time. And all kinds of amazing stuff. What is the update on that card?
It was pulled in California by an 11-year-old.
Wow.
Now, I don't think they want Pirates tickets, to be honest.
Could be.
I don't think they're moving to Pittsburgh.
That feels fair.
But, yeah, we will now see what happens with it. I do think that right now that's probably a $1 million card. So I think if you put it at a major auction house, whether it's Heritage here, there's plenty of other auction houses, but I do think that that is probably a $1 million card. It'll be the rookie card. So Evan Carter's hasn't been pulled yet, but what's going to be interesting is how much those boxes now go down in price.
Just about to ask, has that changed that pretty immediately?
I think I was looking on eBay to see that box has been selling for $500 to $600 plus dollars. Like a hobby box, there's different ways to buy the boxes, but I think it now it looks like some boxes are starting to sell at $300.
Okay, and I kind of dig that if you're just like a regular collector, not that you didn't want that card,
right?
But if you just liked it because you're like, hey, I'm excited about some of the other rookies, I think I can get some good value out of that. Now maybe you're looking at that box and you're like, great, I probably wasn't going to hit the $1 million card.
Josh Young and I opened up three boxes, and we thought for sure we were getting the
Skenes,
but we didn't get it.
Sorry about that, Mike.
We didn't get any patch. If you got a patch of, I don't know, I'm trying to not take a shot at anybody, but let's say a guy who's going to play like my career, like a very short, crappy career, that card is still worth $1,000.
Wow.
Because it's the one of one. It's the rookie card. Yeah, there's other one of ones, but you can get that card in black and red and gold and purple. And this, though, there's only one. You know it was worn on the debut game. So I do think that they need to sell it as fast as possible, my opinion, and get the $1 million and call it a day.
I would, too. That's exactly what I would do.
You asked the question if you had one player.
Okay, yeah, if you could, so far.
Would like a Soto be eligible for that conversation?
No, so even Josh Young isn't.
Okay.
So Josh Young, who hit the home run, his first ever at bat in 2022, MLB and Topps and Fanatics had not come up with this idea yet. So you had to make your debut in the 2023 season.
Okay.
So if you made your debut in 2023 or this last season, 2024, you will have or do have a card of this. So like, Kumar Rocker will be in next year's, if that makes sense, because he made his debut so late that next year Kumar Rocker will be in the stuff to try to get it.
I kind of want to see his at some point. Like I feel his trajectory was high and dropped, but then you saw him come the pitch for the Rangers, and you're like, hold on, what is this? He might be a starter. He might be legit. And I mean, granted, the second outing wasn't the first outing, but
we are talking about it. I asked Kevin during the break. I said, if you could have one of these cards of the debut patch, yeah, it's easy to say Skenes today because it's going to sell for close to $1 million. Ellie De La Cruz sold for, I believe, $600,000. I think that's right. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but I think the person who sold Ellie De La Cruz sold it for $600,000. I asked him, you can't sell the debut patch. You can have one of them out of this year. Which one would you want? And then you can sell it 10 years from now or later.
Jackson Merrill.
Merrill is a really good player. I think I would go Wyatt Langford, and I could be, you know, biased on this because this has been a great year this past year for baseball cards because it feels like it's a loaded year of rookies. I think I would go Wyatt Langford and take my chances with that. Yeah.
I guess I would probably go De La Cruz.
I get it. He's amazing.
Ellie's a blast, dude.
So that's
you mentioned,
and you get
Skenes
to see him in person,
and Merrill,
right?
And Evan Carter. Like, this is a great group.
The first road trip for the Rangers after playing the Red Sox this year will be at Cincinnati.
Wow.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's a fun one right there. So that would be, that's the, yeah, the card world, Kevin.
That's cool. I guess it's awesome. It was pulled.
When was the last player, though, with his kind of hype? Paul Skenes type hype. Was Jack Leiter,
mean for Rangers, it would be recently Wyatt Langford. But if you're talking about hype on a pitcher.
Yeah.
Strasburg,
probably.
Wow. That long.
Because you have Mark Pryor. You have Kerry Wood. Yeah, those enter those equations for
David
those guys.
Price, I feel like there's a lot of steam on him at the time when he was debuting. But Strasburg is who I'd go to. And we're talking about, what, like 12-ish years ago?
He was 2010, I believe,
okay,
was his debut.
14 years ago.
Then he had Skeens just had a great rookie season. He was like, hey, guys, I'm here. Let me deliver.
And he has all of the elements, except for maybe playing for a flashier team, that would make you a big deal. He's a big dude. He throws the ball incredibly fast.
Yeah.
His girlfriend is super well known on social media. I'm not saying that should be a requisite for if everybody knows you, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. No, you're famous.
Yeah. If like the person you're dating is also super famous.
So I don't like saying this, but I'm going to say it. There's plenty of Paul Skeens cards I like and would like to have. I'm going to wait till he blows out his arm. It's going to happen. It happens to everybody, and then his cards will go down by 50%. And that's why we wouldn't pick Paul Skeens. We know that pitchers don't. Unless he starts Nolan Ryan this every year and he has 300 strikeouts, which is almost impossible in today's game with the innings you're going to pitch, and then winning close to 20 games, his value is going to drop as a pitcher, and he's going to blow out his arm. And it doesn't mean it ends his career. It just means he's going to have Spencer Strider or whoever else we've really liked recently as a young pitcher. Is they're going to have a year off or maybe more than a year off. And in that time, when his cards dip quite a bit, for me, that will be a fun time to get some really cool Paul Skeens cards that I would like to have. But I'm going to wait. I have to be patient on Skeens until he blows out is when I will then look at his cards.
And that's the tough thing about chasing certain players that you love. I know Wemby's come up and there's certain Wemby cards that you're like, okay, so if he's not at least the fourth best player in the history of the sport, you're going to be like, whoops. And you're like, you can be like, he's awesome right now. And he is. But again, that's not going to justify the prices at the end of the day. All right. We're talking about another pitcher, unless y'all want to go back to Jake Berger. I was going to talk about Jacob DeGrom here, but we can go to Jake Berger.
Talk about DeGrom. I'm fine with that.
Okay. So Jacob DeGrom, he said this at FanFest, and he said, I'm definitely excited. And he kind of talked about it's almost like you're getting to Christmas morning, and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And he goes, hey, let's go see what we can do, because I feel really good. Which is obviously objectively thrilling for Rangers fans.
So he went out and pitched a bullpen in front of everybody?
Not that far.
That would have been funny.
He said,
I bet he wanted to and see why. I was like,
he's like,
cut
live
this
BP.
Interview
Come
off.
On,
We're
guys,
done.
Let me do it.
But I'm looking at it and I realize 2020 is a different deal and he was healthy that year. But you have to go back to 2019 or if you want to count 2020 for the last time he really had a full season, a full slate of games. So we're talking about coming up on 5 to 6 seasons, depending on how you feel about 2020. What are reasonable expectations in terms of like number of starts?
Number of no hitters.
Okay. So Corey is going to have really high expectations.
I'll tell you what. One of the worst things that could happen to Bruce Bochy and the Texas Rangers is one of the first three starts, he does have a no-hitter through 6 innings and like 93 pitches.
Because you need to take him out of the game.
You're done. We ain't doing this. Too bad.
Corey, are you going to be disappointed we come back that next day and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I want to see something great happen.
Give
me the no-hitter.
What's his expectation? If I give you 150 innings and 25 starts,
I'm thrilled.
So am I.
If he had
so
a 2.5 ERA, are you happy?
Yeah.
Or is that high?
No, that's... I mean, his last year of a full season in 2019, he had a 2.43 ERA. Okay.
Are you asking for that amount that he threw out? Because my ERA is going to be proportionate to how much he starts. So if it slides down to like 18 or 19, I'm like, I need that ERA to be closer to like 2.1. But if he's like, I'm going to pitch a whole season of 30, I'm like, you know what? Keep it under 3, rock on.
Yeah, whole season of 30 at 2.5 is insane.
Yeah.
And a whip, where do we want that whip to be around?
Well, let's take a look at his last like actual full season. He went 11-8 with a 2.43 ERA and a whip of 0.97.
Okay.
If you have a whip anywhere near 1 and certainly below 1, you're doing great.
Yeah.
And his innings pitch, he had 204 innings pitch and struck out 255 people. So like,
we're not getting close to 200 innings.
Yeah. If you give me 150 innings with, I think it's reasonable to maybe guesstimate 170 strikeouts. I am pumped.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it, it's weird because wins and losses. He had a 1.7 ERA in 32 starts, so started all year. 1.7 ERA, 32 starts. He got 10 wins. I think they averaged negative 3 runs in his appearances.
Yeah,
I mean, do you remember that, how bad they were at scoring? Like, it didn't matter what Jacob DeGrom did. They weren't going to score that day for him. So
very Andrew Heaney.
I like what you're saying. I like the whip number. I like, you know, that if we get 25 starts, 150 innings, and he's healthy at the end of the year. So if you make the playoffs, which I'm worried about the closing situation. I'm going to be honest. It's going to be tough for me to pick
especially
this team to go to the playoffs. Yeah. That Kirby Yates is gone. He's a Dodger. Probably everybody's going to be a Dodger.
It's okay. They're in the NL.
True. That is true. You if you'd have signed with, I guess, Seattle, I wouldn't have been pumped up about that.
I'll try to forget the end result, but if you told me right now it's not going to come back to cost you until you get to the World Series, I'll be like, great.
Fine. Well, let's do that. I'll do that every time.
And, but I think he'll win 10 games out of his 25 starts. I mean, I hope he wins more. I hope the offense is awesome or anything, but, you know, in today's world of pitching, you know, 10 doesn't sound like a lot in the history of baseball, but in today's world, 10 wins is, if you get 25 starts and you win 10 of them and your team wins 18 of those 25 starts, that's a nice year.
And this is one of the tough things, and I always hate doing this. We're going to take just a step back. I love cards. I love card collecting. The Dallas Card Show. By the way, Corey.
I hate that I missed
it. Would you kiss your cards with your eyes closed?
If I got certain cards, absolutely, I would. But Corey, I know I said this before. The people at the Dallas Card Show want to see you.
Oh, man.
I get asked.
When's the next one? March?
Time, it's in March. I don't know the exact dates of March. Yeah. I'll double check that. But every time, people are like, hey, is Corey going to be here?
Yeah, what's your deal?
And then,
last time I wanted to go, I got COVID, and Carter had to go with Adrian. And so that was the last I was wanting to go.
See, it doesn't go to what's your deal. But what everybody says is, does he not? He doesn't collect. He didn't care about cards. And actually, he really does.
I just listen to y'all and buy what y'all tell me to.
And so people desperately want you to go to the Dallas Card Show. Every time I'm out there, hey, is Corey going to be here? Have I seen Corey? I've never seen Corey out here. Like, people are pumped for it.
I guarantee I'll be at the next one.
Oh, okay. But this is the part I feel bad about. For the 254, I pulled a Topps Mystical Wyatt Langford. As a newbie, is that one to hang on to or move now? That's like a $5 card. Just because there is, assuming it's not numbered. If it's numbered, it's a different ballgame and we can talk about it. But I was just looking that up. That's like a $2 to $5 card. And that's what's tough is there's so many cards out there. You got to kind of refine what you're looking for.
So can I ask y'all a question? If I want to buy a box at Target, what do I want to buy right now? If there's a box, basketball, football, baseball.
Topps update or Topps Chrome update?
I've seen some Panini stuff pop in there, and I've been like, I don't know, and I always want to call y'all.
Here's the rule of thumb that I've told my wife for this exact scenario. If you see any prism that's not a draft pick, that's basketball or football, buy it.
Okay.
Because that's usually, unfortunately, what the scalpers...
That's not basketball or football?
No, that is basketball or football.
Prism,
Because you can get baseball because they're kind of the pajama cards because they don't have the team logos and everything like that. But if you see prism that's baseball or that's basketball or football and not draft picks, I would buy it.
Sometimes those years that aren't the best years, RJ Dukes had prism on sale. So I know you're talking about Target, but... Maybe you go to like RJ Dukes, McKinney.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right next to the McDonald's.
Yeah, near the McDonald's. Just find the McDonald's off of 75.
And by the way, if you're on your journey on 75, Sports Collectors Hub is the home of the people who run the Dallas Card Show. That's in Allen. If you live somewhere else, Sappy's is in Carrollton.
Yeah.
What if I live in Waxahachie, though?
Well, if you live in Waxahachie, worth collecting. And the reason why I say all this, I wish I got ads for all these people. But they all help us out for Peace-a-thon. And so whenever people are like, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Trading Card World is literally right across the street from this place, from our building.
And I would say...
And they're in Dallas. And especially if you're into Pokemon, that's a great spot to go.
Be careful because there are bad people out there.
Yes. And that's why I want to recommend these specific places that I like quite a bit.
March 13th through the 16th is the next Dallas card show.
Oh, darn it. I'm going to have to reschedule.
You just said you guaranteed it.
I know. I'm going to have to reschedule. I really literally just scheduled something that week.
Moly.
Like just scheduled something.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
I like that they have the Dallas card show now in Chicago and Cincinnati.
Yes.
That's the Chicago card show.
Why don't they call it the Chicago card show?
Because Dallas card show is a brand, man.
Oh, okay.
Entertainment Weekly stopped coming out every week. Guess what they still called it? Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, it's not like when the Mavs go play Cincinnati. There's no Cincinnati.
Never been. Man, you gave it a shot, though, buddy. You're still concerned about that failed guarantee.
Yeah.
Coming up next. I guarantee you we will chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Pretty great, Higgy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Love that hoodie.
Thanks,
dude.
That
makes me feel even happier.
Yeah, I got this in the championship run.
Now, what makes me less happy is that the Dodgers...
How do they do this?
And I've seen the articles already start to pop up. I think The Athletic was like, hey, don't be mad at the Dodgers. Be mad that your team's not doing this. I am, but I just need to direct my anger at a specific team, and it's the Dodgers because they took Kirby Yates. I'm disappointed because Kirby Yates was awesome, but I'm also disappointed because it's January. This Rangers team does not have a closer.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, I appreciate everything they've done so far, I'm trying to be patient here. I know, you know, CY is up against it when you have a penny-pinching owner.
You might have $6 million to spend.
Might be satisfied with one championship, you know, but he's done a heck of a job so far this offseason. So salute to CY. Hopefully he can soften up old, Ray McDuck there a little bit and kick loose about $10 million.
Sheesh. Hanging out in his money silo.
I did get a text from Dave Raymond, so I'll give him credit on this. He's like, he's trying to do the math on the penalties and what the Dodgers owe their team this year. And I know it can get a little bit weird with deferred money, but if he's right and he was just kind of hypothetically just giving Kirby Yates $10 million this year, that they would be on payroll and taxes at $513 million approximately.
Golly.
So the Rangers are at $236 million because they want to try to stay under $241. That's your first tax threshold. That the Dodgers are a little bit over $500 million in payroll and taxes on their payroll.
That's ridiculous. That is...
If you got it, spend it, you know?
I mean,
yeah,
sure. If you've already recouped your entire investment probably on your franchise, and now you just see money building up, why the hell? Why the hell not?
You got to love the commitment. You
know? I do. Yeah. I really do. Even if I dislike them in the moment, it's just because I'm like, I wish my team was doing that. Now, last night's national championship game, we could talk about that as much as you guys want, but I was intrigued. I saw Joel Klatt, among others, bring this up that, this is the pinnacle of the sport, and it's the day after four or a day or two after four divisional round games and like stuck in the middle of the NFL season. Do you guys feel like the placement of this is getting it lost?
No. I mean, it's always been on a Monday night, right? So just because
I don't mind the Monday night, just where it is in the playoff.
I mean, I will say yesterday, and I said it to you guys, I forgot that, okay, the national championship's tonight. Like maybe in a perfect world, you don't have NFL games this Saturday, right? It's just conference championship Sunday. Could you have just played it on Saturday or even a Friday night? Maybe you don't have it on the Monday night and you make it kind of a more of a special thing. But I mean, I've become accustomed to it being a Monday night game.
That's true.
And I don't think that it suffered at all ratings-wise, most likely. I mean, you had two premier teams,
I'm sure,
in Notre Dame and Ohio State, with massive fan bases. And fortunately for them, it looked like it was going to be a blowout. And then it was interesting late in the fourth quarter because the Irish were able to come back after, you know, the turnover for Ohio State. But no, ultimately, like, Joel Klatt's had a lot of really good thoughts when it comes to how to tweak the playoff a little bit. He's trying to become the commissioner if he can. But this was one, I think he was reaching. He was not preaching here.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I think there's a situation right now where there was a time where the NFL really respected college football because that's where they get their workforce from. I think they're both now out for so much. They know how much money's out there, and they figure that, you know, listen, they're going to get their share. We'll get our share. I think that's what they're trying to work together on. The fact that, like, okay, can we stagger these games in order that we can all make the most amount of money? It's, we all know it's about the content.
Sure.
You know? And so that's kind of where I don't think anybody, you know, he's trying to be a traditionalist about it and all that. I think college football is like, okay, we're going to make our money this way. They're going to make their money this way. There used to be respect with each other, you know, about their games and when they put NFL games on. When the NFL went after the NBA schedule on Christmas Day, you knew right then and there they didn't give a damn about your games or anybody else's games. So to me, college football is kind of in that same boat. NFL is not gonna step back and do anything for them, even though, like I say, they get all their talent from there.
My brother-in-law served in the Navy. I know you guys have been at Army, Navy, so I think the way Feinbaum put it was too harsh. But what do you think about the concept of not having Army, Navy on its own standalone weekend at the end of the season?
Here's what I like about what Joel and what he did is we're kind of been in this mode of losing momentum between the week before Thanksgiving and New Year's Day in college football for a long time. And we got to put everything on the table to capture that momentum and keep this feeling of, wow, it's just getting better and we're building to this crescendo. I'm with Wolchuk. You know, I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, national championship game, you know. And that's, I think, because they take us out of the rhythm of it. You know, so.
And I'm always curious, like, I'm sure the number will be huge, like you said, Wolchuk. I really do believe that. I wonder about, like, the
value. But those Saturday games are huge. I mean, those are over 30 million
viewers.
For
sure.
And I don't know if a college football game is going to get that.
Absolutely agree with that. And I wonder about the talk leading up to it and the talk after the fact. Like, what's the value of that? I don't quite know how to quantify that, but I'm sure there'd be way more talk about this game if it was, you know, on a different day.
Like a Wednesday?
Yeah. Or
you could talk about it Tuesday, Wednesday,
or right before
Thursday.
The playoffs start. Or I don't know how. I haven't figured out the total logistics of that. But I feel like you lose a lot of, like, hey, let's hype up college football leading up to it and let's hype up college football leading out of it.
Well, college football has figured out how to start earlier and earlier.
They
now.
Have.
So that's the makeup right there. They get to us far earlier in August than even we've had before. So, I mean, I think this, it for these kids, man, this was the longest year they've ever had to endure.
It really,
you know,
was.
When Ohio State won this, it was. Them and Notre Dame went through the longest season. So I don't think anything's going to change on that. I just think that it's now part of inventory, and we just need to continue to consume it.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Well, it is a Rodney Dangerfield back to school Tuesday as Wolchuk and Chiafalo will depart the show at 5:15. They're going up to UNT to talk to the aspiring broadcasters this evening.
Goodness gracious.
So Brian and I will
see,
do
Eric
our best.
Dressed for the occasion. He's really excited about it.
We got a lot of football conversations, including Mark Schlereth at 4:40.
You too can be on the radio.
Your show might already be full. Is there any chance you could make them give whatever speech they're going to give out to the people over to the radio?
Oh, yeah, what are you going to say to the kids? Yeah.
I have zero preparation for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I would, but they're just mailing it in.
Okay.
You guys got any questions out there?
I get no respect.
How many honeys do radio hosts get?
One.
Okay, all right. That's a good answer. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. I respect that answer. All right, roll home.
Boy, you're losing in that number.
Bag Nation.
Excuse me, sir.
We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.